Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from John's Gospel, the 9th chapter, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 41, the whole story. Hear God's word this morning. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. And night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And when he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eye, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. And then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" And some were saying, "It is he." And others were saying, "No, but someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" And he answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and washed and received my sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." And they brought to the Pharisee the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. And then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see." And some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. And so they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And he said, "He is a prophet. You say about him, it was him who opened your eye." And the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he not see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, and he will speak for himself." And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." And the man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you're trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I might believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." And some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sins remain." The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Gracious God, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they always be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our living Redeemer. Amen. Well, friends, it is not magic. We call it the placebo effect. Now, the placebo effect is a mysterious ability of our bodies to sometimes heal what ails us if we only believe. Now, I'm a classics major. Probably didn't know that. I love these little words. Placebo, where am I, Latin professor? Placebo in Latin means "I shall please." But in medical research, it means a pharmacologically inactive substance. We've all heard of sugar pills or perhaps a phony medical procedure that people will administer as a control in the testing and effectiveness of a drug or a course of action. Now, the man who is really the name in placebo research is a man who is the clinical professor of psychiatry at Brown University. And he has a great name, Walter Brown. You can't make this stuff up. He is in the forefront of research in the placebo effect. And he and other scientists are trying to learn why. Now, this number absolutely amazes me. Between 30 and 40% of the people who suffer from asthma or high blood pressure or depression say they actually benefit from taking a placebo. Think of that number, 30 to 40%. Now, that's why I said, make no mistake, that the healing effect of placebos are real. They're not merely delusions of wishful thinking. And Brown says it is so easy to document and prove the effectiveness of placebos. Now, the number, once again, 30 to 40%. I find that amazing. 30 to 40% of people suffering from a range of illnesses benefit from taking a placebo. Now, as we turn to John's Gospel this morning and we've read the ninth chapter, in that ninth chapter we meet a man who was born blind, but a man who receives his sight. And how does Jesus do this? Well, we're told he puts mud on the eyes of the man, tells him to go wash at the pool of Siloam, and when he comes back, he is able to see. Many of us love this story. We learned it in Sunday school, huh? At first, the man says that he doesn't even know who Jesus is. And then he says that Jesus is a prophet. Okay, we're getting up there. And finally, he stands before Jesus and says, Lord, here are the words, I believe. Although he never figured out just how Jesus healed him. He knows that if Jesus were not from God, he could not have done anything. We'll call it the Messiah effect, if you will. Again, the mysterious ability of people to be healed. If only they come into contact with Jesus. But at the same time, it is a placebo effect, because a mud and spit compress played a very, very important part in this miraculous healing. Now, I don't know about you, there are a lot of Bible stories, but this one is really strange, and at the same time, it is a wonderful story. And Jesus, the part that I want to point out, Jesus refuses, remember early in this chapter, he refuses to use the label of sinner on either the blind man or on his parents, but he says he was born blind. Why? So that God's works might be revealed in him. Now, with such an introduction, one might think that Jesus would go on and he would treat this man with courtesy and respect. But no, he doesn't do that. He does exactly the opposite. Pun intended, he treats him like dirt. He spits on the ground, makes mud with his saliva, and then he spreads this mud on the man's eyes. He uses wet, sticky, soft, dirty earth. He uses mud. Now, think about that word, mud. It is a symbol of all that is degrading. We use it in such phrases as a person's name being dragged through the mud. Now, Jesus, perhaps, was the first person to utter the humorous drinking toast and the title of this message, here's mud in your eye. I mean, it's hardly the sentiments that you would associate or hear from a teacher who is healing by the word of God. And yet the man born blind, here we go again, believes. He believes enough to follow the command of Jesus to go wash in the pool of Siloam and to stumble through the streets of Jerusalem wearing this ridiculous mask of mud. Now, we don't know exactly how far this man had to walk after receiving the mud pack from Jesus, but it really could be quite a hike. We've tried to figure this out. John tells us that Jesus encounters the man after leaving the temple, but he doesn't reveal the precise location of the meeting. If Jesus puts the mud in the man's eyes right outside the temple, then the man has to walk at least 500 yards to the Pool of Siloam. That's 5 football fields. It is really quite a distance for a man to cover, groping and stumbling and trying to ignore the jeers of the crowd. He must have heard things like, hey, Phil Face, or he's got a mud ball for an eyeball. What happened? Kids play mud pies on your noggin? Or nice look. Be glad you're blind, boy. So it's really not a very pleasant walk for this man. It is a degrading, it is an embarrassing, it is humiliating walk. But the man has been in touch with Jesus, and for some reason, he believes. He believes that this teacher, who calls himself the light of the world, is somehow going to bring an end to his lifelong darkness. Besides, what does this man have to lose? His pathetic progress down the rocky streets of Jerusalem He'll be mocked by townspeople, whether he had mud on his face or not. And so he goes and he washes and he comes back and he sees this dirt and spit compress opened his eyes, and he then begins to testify that it was Jesus who gave him his vision. This is really a juicy part. He stands before the Pharisees and he says, "He put mud on my eyes, and then I washed, and now I see." He's a prophet. And when they counter with what? Jesus is a sinner. And he says, the man says, "I don't know whether he is a sinner, but there's one thing I do know, that though I was born blind, now I see." And the man asked the Pharisees mockingly, I love this part, "Do you also want to be his disciples?" He might as well have said to these religious leaders, here's that line again, "Here's mud in your eyes, Pharisees." And finally, face to face with the one who healed him, the man discovers that Jesus is none other than the Son of Man. And he says, "Lord, I believe." And he does what? He worships him. Now, it's important to note that his healing comes before the statement of faith. The man does believe in Jesus. He doesn't believe in Jesus prior to his touch. The man receives the touch and then he believes. This mud pack, it acts as a placebo. It inspires the man to trust that he will be healed. Now, when you listen to this story, does this all sound rather crazy to you? Whatever you do, friends, don't scoff at the power of the powerless placebo. Don't assume that dirt and spit had nothing to do with the healing of the blind man. At the very, very least, it helped to focus his faith. And the question this morning, after a story like this, what helps us focus our faith? Sometimes, and rather unfortunate, it's the unpleasant experiences in our life that throw us way off kilter. In such circumstances, when we take even a small step of obedience, despite the uncertain path ahead, what do we discover? We discover that Christ is alive and active and working for health and wholeness. There really isn't anything magical about it, but it's certainly mysterious and miraculous. Think about it again. The application of a mud ball can lead to the healing of our bodies and our minds and our spirits. If we only believe. Now the question is, what do we need to be packed into our eyes this morning to really open them up? What are the dirt and the spit placebos that Christ will use to help us believe? Surprising healing can happen when a person is in close touch with Jesus. And oddly enough, one of the placebos that can help us be healed is pain. Pain. Pain has an ability to really get our attention. Pain is unwanted as a mud ball in the eye. Physical, emotional, or spiritual suffering in ourselves and others. Now, we may want to deny that pain threatens to disrupt all of our happiness and destroy our well-being, but we shouldn't. because it's been said many times before, pain is the megaphone that God uses to rouse our deaf world. Now, C.S. Lewis, who is a British author, is a member of a group called the Inklings at Oxford. He writes this in one of his many, many good books called The Problem of Pain. Just listen. He says, I am progressing along the path of life, enjoying friends and work and holidays, when suddenly a stab of abdominal pain that threatens serious disease or a headline in the newspaper that threatens us all destruction sends this whole pack of cards tumbling down. At first, I'm overwhelmed in all my little happinesses. They look like broken toys. And then slowly and reluctantly, bit by bit, I try to bring myself into the frame of mind that I should be in at all times. And I remind myself that all these toys were never intended to possess my heart, that my true good is in another world, and my only treasure is Christ. And perhaps by God's grace I succeed and for a day or two become a creature consciously dependent on God and drawing strength from the right resources. C.S. Lewis. So pain can be a placebo, a surprising bit of mud in the eye that will remind us that our true good is in another world. Our real treasure is Christ, and our ultimate dependence should be on God. Struggles in life can take our eyes off worldly pleasures, and they can give us a vision of the joy of God's kingdom. Financial problems can focus on the priceless treasure of an investment with Christ. Even illness can help us see that health is far more than freedom from disease. It's rooted instead in a life-giving and eternal relationship with God. So pain can have a placebo effect if it leads to reconciliation with God. Amen.